Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, the father of a 14-year-old boy accused of killing four people at his high school in the US state of Georgia has been arrested. The 54-year-old is facing four charges of involuntary manslaughter, two counts of second-degree murder, and eight of cruelty to children. His son is due to appear for his first court appearance later today. Well, joining me now with the latest on this is Charles Feldman, presenter with KNX News in LA. Charles, thanks for being with us. Will you bring us up to date on the latest developments this morning, in particular these charges that both are facing?
Good morning, Claire. It is a sort of unusual, but a trend that has been developing of late to charge the parents of minors who commit these sort of violent crimes with crimes themselves, especially ones that involve firearms. So what's happened here in Georgia is, as you correctly pointed out, the father of the accused, gunman, although he's being charged as an adult and tried as an adult, he's only 14, but nonetheless, his father bought him, apparently, the weapon as a gift earlier last year. And in the state of Georgia, minors are not allowed to own guns. So therefore, anybody who buys one and gives a minor a gun as a gift is guilty of a crime. So that's the legal foundation for why his father is being charged with involuntary manslaughter and second degree murder. Whether or not a jury will go along with that, of course, we'll have to wait and see.
Now, we're also hearing that the police, the local police, went to visit this family in March of last year. So this would be just after the gun was purchased, a couple of months after the gun was purchased, if that's what happened. What more do we know about that interaction between the family and the police?
He apparently made some comments, or at least it was alleged he did, on the internet about a year ago that referred to shooting up the school. However, by the time the local police managed to interview him and his father, those comments had disappeared from the web. The kid swore that he was not intending to shoot anybody, especially in the school. And so it was decided by the local authorities that there just wasn't sufficient evidence to arrest him or his father for any crime, because no crime had been committed at the time. And of course, now here we are about a year later, and of course now a crime has been committed.
And Charles, what more are we hearing about what happened on the day of the shooting in the school?
Students heard what they thought at first was a popping sound outside. Turned out, of course, to be gunshots. In one case, he apparently tried to enter one classroom. It's not clear why the students inside that classroom didn't let him in. It might be that perhaps they saw that he was carrying a weapon. But in any case, he ended up not being able to get into one particular classroom. So he opened fire in the hallway of the school. And that's when he killed two students and two teachers and injured several others.
And what has been the national reaction to this event? I mean, they are, as we know, very sadly quite common events, but you will have an incident like this one which prompts a wider debate.
Well, you know, there's this phrase that politicians keep using. So the reaction tends to be politicians saying our thoughts and prayers are with the family. And, it's a nice sentiment and it's appropriate, I suppose, but it doesn't actually ever lead to anything. It never leads to any substantial legislation. It never leads to stricter gun control. It rarely leads to stricter laws about some sort of mechanism in which you would check out better the people, especially minors, who are in possession of firearms. And it never leads to making illegal the kind of weapon that was used in the shooting, which was a semi-automatic weapon. These are weapons that are essentially modifications of military weapons.
Now, you've taken us on to politics on the national stage, because that's where this debate is had too, of course. And President Joe Biden's son, Hunter, has pleaded guilty to nine federal tax charges. Is that a surprise, Charles?
Yes, it was a surprise, in fact, to the prosecutors and the judge. And that rarely happens. Typically, when, especially in a high profile case, when a defendant decides to plead guilty, normally it is the end result of weeks, if not months, of negotiations between the defendant and the prosecutors and the judge in trying to work out a favorable arrangement, a favorable deal in exchange for the guilty plea, which saves the government, of course, the cost of a lengthy trial. In this case, what happened was that earlier in the day, Hunter Biden and his attorneys showed up at court, and they initially wanted to enter a very unusual plea in this country. They wanted to enter a plea that would have allowed him to, in effect, say, yeah, there's enough evidence that the prosecutors would probably be able to find me guilty before a jury, but I'm not really guilty anyway. It's a very unusual kind of a plea that very seldom is actually accepted, and it wasn't accepted in this case. The judge didn't accept it. The prosecutors didn't accept it. And then in a very short amount of time, Claire, after that, what happened was, the surprise of everybody, the lawyers came back to the courtroom and said to the judge, our client has decided to plead guilty to all of the charges against him. And there was no arrangement. There was no deal. There was no stipulation that in exchange for this, he would get that. He, in effect, pleaded guilty and asked for nothing in return.
Okay, which is interesting in the context of the sentence he's going to face, because had he gone through a trial and been found guilty, he was facing a very hefty custodial sentence. But we don't know now what the outcome will be, do we?
No, we don't. Under federal law, depending on the jurisdiction, in this case, it was in California, but it was a federal case involving income tax. The potential is for a couple of decades on the long end in prison. But this isn't, this isn't a repeat offender. He was found guilty, I should point out, in another jurisdiction not too long ago on gun possession charges when he lied about not being a drug addict, and yet he was in possession of a weapon, which is illegal in this country. So he already is a convicted felon for that, and he's awaiting sentencing on that one. Mm-hmm. But on this tax case, it's his first conviction, and often first offenders are treated fairly leniently, and especially in this case where he did save the government the cost of a trial. The trial was about to get underway. They were about to go into jury selection, and it was going to take, they thought, maybe in the order of 6 or 7 weeks. So by saving all that time and effort and money, often judges decide that they're not going to come down as heavily.
All right. Well, we'll see what they decide. Charles, thank you so much. Charles Feldman there, presenter with KNX News in LA.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.